In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Last week, on the second day of Tut, the church celebrates the commemoration of St. John the Baptist. And today, the gospel also relates to him. But what we are going to focus on today is what the Lord said about the Pharisees and the scribes, that the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves. The purpose means the plan. Why anyone would reject God's plan? Why we find difficulty sometimes to accept these plans and live up to them? So first of all, we have to understand how God plans things, how He functions, how He designs things, in order for us, when we understand, then we can know why sometimes people find difficulty abiding and accepting God's plans. The first thing we should observe about God's plans is that they unfold and develop to their perfection over time. God does not start from the end. It takes time until the full plan is revealed. And that's why sometimes people going with this, either they say that maybe what is the beginning is the perfection, and they are, of course, they're wrong when they think this way, or sometimes people think that either there is some kind of contradiction. God is contradicting himself. Let us give example from the scripture. It's the law of Moses. St. Paul says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law was given not as the perfect plan. It is just a beginning, something to help us in order for us to reach Christ. At that time, the role of the tutor is finished, it's done. And now we have to embrace the salvation through Christ by faith. And that's why one of the reasons that the Pharisees and the lawyers did not accept it, simply because this was what they believed is how they're going to be justified. We are going to be justified by the law. How can you tell us now that the law is done? It served a purpose, and now we have to move into another phase of God's plans. Another thing, another example is what God gave to Abraham as a promise, that in his seeds, all of the earth will be blessed. And he can see that Abraham first coming out from his own country, and he has no children. And for a long time, what was going on? Where are these children that you promised me? When this is going to be fulfilled? And that's why partly along the plan, Abraham thought in his mind with his wife, let us help God out, because the plan is not working. God gave me a promise, but it's not happening. So I'm going to marry another woman, and I'll bring a child from her, and we all know the story and how it went. So why here was the problem with God's plans? Because God's plans took time. And in order to reach its full phase, people have to wait and observe. Another example is the law of marriage. God created Adam and Eve, one man and one woman, to have this kind of relationship forever until the end of their lives. Along the way, because of the hardness of the heart of man, God allowed things like divorce and like men having multiple wives. But this was not the full picture. This is not the perfection of God's plan. He went with man as man could endure, as man can understand. That's why in man's weakness, God allows things that was not originally in the design of this institution of marriage. And that's why when Christ came and he said, it is not as, it was not like this from the beginning. He was unfolding the fullness of the plan. I will bring you now to the time of grace where you can understand that in marriage, one man and one woman and this relationship should not be broken. People come and stumble and say, why we cannot live like the Old Testament? We have multiple wives and we divorce whenever we like. But again, this is how God works his plans. They take time until they are complete and perfect. The same applies with us as well, our own lives. Sometimes we do not understand what's going on. Are we going to live like this? Are the people in Egypt are going to go in this mess for long? But again, we can say with certainty, what's happening there is part of a big plan. If it is not complete yet, it does not mean that God is not in action. He is not working. Definitely He is, and one day we are going to praise his wonderful work in Egypt, as he did in many, many occasions before, as we can see and follow in the scripture. The second thing that we should remember about God's plans, there might be different styles and messages to reach the same end. What do I mean by this? Today, the Lord Christ said about the Pharisees, they did not like either styles, John the Baptist or the Son of Man. John was an ascetic person. He lived in the wilderness, and he did not mingle much with people, and he came with a certain style to deliver a certain message. The message was repent, and he was, in a way, we can see that he was straightforward. His message was very direct. But the Son of Man came, he mingled with people, he associated with the sinners, he ate with them, and this looks like two different styles, two different messages, but at the end, pointing at the same end. John the Baptist was after the repentance of the people, and the Lord Jesus also was after their repentance at their coming back to him. People sometimes, they stumble, they say that those people are saying this and those people are saying this. This father is warning us, and this father is saying that everything is good, and everything should be like accepted within God's forgiveness. We do not know which we believe. Both should make us to reach the same end. Either a warning message or that of hope, both are to move us to repentance. Jonah, when he went to the people of Nineveh, he said one statement: after 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. It's a warning message. He led them to repentance in this way. And when the Lord Christ came preaching the kingdom, he gave hope to the people also, in order for him to reach with those people into this end of repentance. The church also delivers to us the same message in different ways. During the great fast, we are all observing this fast, we are not eating, and everything in the church with the songs and melodies, everything have this kind of tone that encourages repentance. In the holy 50 days, when there is no fasting and everything is joyful, it does not mean that there is no season of repentance in the holy 50 days. But while we are repenting, we are rejoicing in the salvation brought to us. Two different styles. Actually, they are the opposite, but both of them should lead us to the same end. Look at the people of God, Saint Barnabas and Saint Paul. Saint Barnabas is a man, a son of encouragement. Speaks in a certain way. He embraced the people in a certain way. Saint Paul have a different style. But again, between those different styles and maybe different messages, the end is the same. Sometimes people stumble in God's plans when they think that the messages are contradicting. The people are not the same, would not hear the same thing. And I like this, I don't like that. It shouldn't be the case. The third thing to remember about God's plan, that all of God's plans are preceded by a longer preparation. And here, man's patience is tested. There is always, before the fulfillment of the plan, there is time of preparation. God promised Adam salvation that's going to come from his offspring. And between his promise to the coming of the Messiah, it took like 5,000 years. All of this time was for? Man has to learn that he cannot save himself, and he needs a savior. He's going to try over and over and over to justify himself, and he will fail. But this failure is part of the preparation of accepting the salvation through Christ. Sometimes our preparation includes that we fail. We should not be discouraged, or we think that because we failed, then we will never be able to attain it. Maybe this mere failure is what is needed exactly before God is to fulfill his purpose in our lives. Between the Exodus and entering the promised land was 40 years of struggle walking in the wilderness. And then the question, why you did not lead them, O Lord, from Egypt to the promised lands? It takes 2 weeks walking in Sinai, just 2 weeks. Why they have to wait for this? They need to experience me. They need to learn whom I am. They need to depend on me, even in their day-to-day providence. They have to look up waiting for the food. They know that I am the provider. Why this is needed? Because one day, when they will go to this rich land and you'll find everything that's ready and available, they should not think that it is the land that's providing. It is me. And they have to learn this lesson before I entrust them over the promised land. All of this preparation was so much needed. People, they stumbled and they rejected this plan. And they kept on wondering and asking, why are we walking all of this? Until when we are going to be in the wilderness, and all of the stories about them grumbling against God. Saint John the Baptist was the preparation of the coming of the Messiah. And it's interesting to observe that Saint John the Baptist was calling for the people to repent. This looks like this is the end. The repentance is, as we understand it, is the final step. The repentance is not by itself the goal. The repentance is what is needed for us to be able to unite with Christ. What do I mean by this? We repent in order for us to come and partake of the Eucharist. If we repent and we do not come here, we do not fulfill the plan of salvation. Something is missing. Many people, they think that just their mere repentance, just abstaining from doing evil, is what's needed. Now I will be approved by God. This is the preparation. Everything has to be completed here at the table of the Eucharist. Your prayers at home or your fasting is not the end. It's a preparation. The ultimate goal is to bring you here to be united with Christ. Don't assume or think that these tools, even repentance, is the end. That's what's needed. It's a preparation. The ultimate end is here when we are united with Christ through the sacrament of the Eucharist. Another thing we should remember about the plans of God, that the plans of God, they need the people of God to execute them. God could have made everything by himself and through the angels, but he did not. At the time when he wanted to deliver humanity from the evil, Noah was there. Noah has to be there in order for the plan of God to be executed. When God wanted to deliver the people of Israel, he waited for Moses. He did not make him. He waited for him to come. He did not rush time. He heard the cry of the people of Israel, but he waited for this man, this particular person, in order for him to execute the plan of the deliverance of the people of Israel. Jonah was the man for the mission to Nineveh and nobody else. Why? Because with everything related to Jonah, even him rejecting the plan and fleeing, God is going to use this to save the sailors. God is going to use Jonah because he's going to deliver a strong message. And God will save Jonah through his ministry to the Ninevites. God needed this person, only him. Again, we can go back and say God could have sent anybody else. He could have sent an angel. Actually, if God appears by himself, wouldn't this be more effective? But this is not how God operates. Sometimes we wait for God to appear to us, or we receive an apparition from heaven by an angel, by a saint, to tell us about this is what God wants from you. But this is not how he functions. We do not learn this about him. There are certain persons, certain people who should be there to do what God wants to be done. Saint Mary, one of the reasons why salvation have to wait for all of these years, that God waited for this particular girl. She's not like anybody else. He did not form her to be like this. Yes, everything comes from him, but he waited for this particular girl because she is the only one who can bear this honor without it being buffed up with pride. And again, Saint Paul and his talents, all of those people, they are needed to execute God's plans. When an angel went to Cornelius and told him that your fasting and prayers and your givings were accepted by God, this is what he can tell him, nothing more. He cannot tell him anything about the plan of salvation. The question about what should I do was referred then to go and ask for Saint Peter. Get this man and he will teach you. You are here. You are the angel of God. Whatever you are going to tell me, I'm going to abide to. I cannot talk about salvation to men. Salvation is preached by other men. This is something that's how God designed that we should listen to each other, we have people of men to execute his plans. The fifth point to remember, we have to do our part in his plans. We are not the ones who are making doing everything, and meanwhile we cannot say that our role is trivial and insignificant. God inflicted 9 plagues over Egypt. All of them was him by himself, bringing all of these insects and death to the animals. Just God is functioning alone. But the plague that's going to bring deliverance, man has to work his part in it. They have to get the lamb, they have to slay the lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and all of the story of the 10th plague. And this will be the one that's going to bring deliverance. Our role, no matter how small it is, very significant and important. We have to offer the 5 loaves and the 2 fish before he bless them and multiply them and make them to satisfy the people. We have to move the stone before him, asking, calling for Lazarus and bring him out alive. Thinking that God has to do it all, our role is not important, is something that makes some people, they reject God's plan. Some of the churches, they say, you don't have to do anything. But we did not learn this from the Bible. Even the salvation that was brought to us over the cross, we have to embrace it. We have to accept it. And this is what happens through the sacraments of the church. The 6th point to remember is nothing is added to God's thinking to alter his plans. It looks like God is working things as they go, but they are not truly like this. Everything is planned from the beginning. Even the kingdom of God that we are going to inherit at the end of time was prepared before the foundation of the world, before Adam was created, and to him and his wife to stay in the garden, the kingdom of God was there. Nothing is added to his thinking. We should not sometimes people think that God updates his plans or he updates his thinking. Like some of the churches that they say there's some kind of theology that's revealed to us still till now, as if God is updating. He is sending like his messages to tell us, now I changed my mind, or now here is what I want you to know. Maybe just ignore what I said before. The creation of Eve, again, one of the examples that nothing is added to his thinking. We should not think that because God created Adam alone, then he just created Eve to be an entertaining person for Adam. Or as if like this was added to his thinking. Oh, now what should I do for Adam? He's bored in the Garden of Eden. It was in his mind from the beginning, but the timing of his creation served a purpose. Adam has to live by himself, has to learn from God, live with him, work with him, know the commandment before he would be able to unite with his wife. A lesson for Adam to learn and for our young people who are still single. When you are single, it's a time for preparation in order for the marriage. Whenever you find the spouse, that this would be a successful and functioning family. The last thing we should remember about God's plans, God cares as much about the process as he cares about the end. Christ came to die, and through his death we will be saved. We know this. But it is not like I should die anything, meaning why he was not killed by cutting off his head. Because this will give an impression that the head can be separated and the body of Christ can be separated. This shouldn't happen. All kinds of execution were not fulfilling what in God's plan. In his plan, he has to be between heaven and earth. So this is the cross. He has to have his arms stretched so it looks like he is embracing whole humanity. He has to be united. Nothing is going to be like divided in his body. This is the cross. His death would bring salvation no matter the way that he chooses, but the process was important. The cross was important. In the tabernacle of meeting, God is asking the people to build for him a place to worship. The most important thing is a place to worship. Yes, this is important, but as important also how you worship, what you do, who is going to be serving this. God could have said, build a house for me to worship me in it. Isn't this what I want? Isn't this what you are created for? No. The process, how you do it, is as important as how you attain this. I'm saying this because sometimes people say that it doesn't matter how the church will look like. If we are gathered in simple hall, we are singing our own songs. Isn't this enough? Why we should have priests and we have incense and we have a sacrifice and all of this? We did not choose this. We did not prefer this in our churches. We are just fulfilling the purpose that God created the worship for, to worship Him in a certain way, not just to say we are going to worship God and this is the end of the story. God cares about the process as He cares about the end. We ask God to open our eyes and our hearts in order to see Him working and to see His plans and accepting them, and not to share in any way with those people who are rejecting God's plans or finding difficulty to live by them. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.